Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
He is good all the time. He is good all the time. The devil's bad and we win. I just told you the end of the story, so you should be happy about that. Hey, why don't you turn to your neighbor and punch him in the arm? Tell him happy Good Friday. I'm going to back up a little bit. I feel a little bit too close to you guys. So great to have you guys here tonight. Good Friday services are always powerful services. Anytime we talk about communion, and it's not just a symbol. It's not just a piece of stale bread and grape juice. It's actually a powerful symbol of what Jesus did on the cross. So I'm just going to get right into it. I'm going to have the worship team stay up here with me. I'm going to preach for a little bit, and then we're going to pray. We're going to take communion, and we're going to believe God for breakthrough in your life, healing in your body. Tonight is your night. If you're in sickness or if you have pain, tonight is your night. God's going to set you free. Good Friday. Good Friday is not just Good Friday. It's also what the Jews would call Passover. And what they would celebrate the beginning of Passover. And if you remember what Passover is, if you look back into the Old Testament, when God came to Moses in a burning bush and said, go deliver the Israelites. And so Moses comes to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no. And so Moses is like, all right, you're about to get 10 plagues. And so 10 plagues come, and it's the last plague, which was to kill the firstborn of everybody in Egypt, the firstborn in the house. And so that was the 10th plague. That was the initiation of the Passover. And so Moses tells everybody to get a lamb without blemish, without spot. Sacrifice the lamb. Take the blood of the lamb and put it on the lintels in your door and the doorposts on each side. Because he said that the destroyer was going to come and kill the firstborn in every household, but that he would see the blood of the lamb that covered the home, and the destroyer would have to pass over that house and spare the firstborn. In other words, that family would be saved. And that was the initiation of the deliverance of Israel out of Egypt. But they didn't just get saved and then delivered. They also plundered Egypt. The Bible says that they went to their neighbor and that neighbor, and they took all the silver and the gold, and they left not only saved, not only delivered, but prosperous. But they didn't just leave saved, delivered, and prosperous. The Bible says in Psalms 105, there was not one feeble among them. There wasn't one sprained ankle. There wasn't one, hangnail. There wasn't one headache. Out of a million Israelites, there was not one feeble. That's what the Passover is all about. That's what Good Friday is all about tonight. And sometimes Good Friday, like Michael was saying, why is it Good Friday? Sometimes I think about Good Friday and I'm like, well, that's the day that Jesus was brutally crucified. And you can almost feel sad or feel bad. But it's actually the greatest love story of all time, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to die on a cross to renew a relationship that was lost thousands of years before. So we shouldn't feel bad or sad. We should feel very, very loved when we think about what happened on the cross. But today's the day that we remember the weekend that changed the world. This is the day that started the weekend that changed the world. And it's kind of the culmination of Jesus's 33 and a half year life on earth. And it's also the culmination of a redemptive plan that was set in motion thousands of years before that by God in heaven. It's kind of the culmination of all of those things. It's the beginning of that. The Bible says in Revelation that Jesus was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. So from the foundation of the world, God had a plan to redeem you and I. What's powerful about that is it doesn't matter what we've done in the past in our lives, because we were forgiven before the foundation of the world. So it doesn't really matter what we did, because it was already set in motion. Jesus was already coming to set you and I free, to forgive us of our sins. So it doesn't really matter what we've done. We all fall into the redemptive plan of Jesus Christ. It was the evening that produced the three of the most powerful words in history. It is finished. It was also the weekend that produced or recorded the greatest and most important miracle, I believe, of all time. The sovereign resurrection of Jesus Christ 3 days after he was crucified. No one came up to the tomb and yelled, "Jesus, come forth," or laid hands. It was a sovereign act of God. The Holy Ghost came into that tomb and lifted Jesus out of the grave. It's an amazing miracle. The most important thing that's ever happened in the world. And Jesus was, he was aware of why he came to earth. He was aware of why he was here, how he came from the limitless God and became a limited man. Although he was 100% God, he chose to take and put on the limits of man so that he could redeem what the devil had stolen thousands of years before. But just because he was aware of why he was here, of his assignment, that didn't make it very easy. And it was actually the night before his crucifixion that was critical. It was a critical moment in time, and Jesus knew the next day he was going to go to the cross and give his life for you and I. And I like it because the night before, he went and had what we call the Last Supper. He got together with his friends because he likes to hang out with his friends. Did you know that in John 15, he calls you and I his friends? He likes to spend time with you. He likes to hang out with you. When he did that the night before his death, I think that's such a beautiful picture. And they were talking, and tonight we're going to take communion, and this is where communion comes from. And he says to his disciples, he says, he breaks the bread, blesses it, and hands it to them, and says, "This is my body broken for you." And then he takes the wine, and he passes it around to his disciples, and says, "This is my blood of the new covenant for your salvation." And he says, "Remember me. When you come together, remember me in the future." And so that's why we're going to do communion tonight after we're done here. We're going to remember him. So that's where we get the Last Supper. But Jesus was, after the Last Supper, they went up to the Mount of Olives. Then he went down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And I was just there just a few months ago in Israel. And it's a powerful, powerful place. There's still olive trees there that were there when he was there. They can tell by the size of the trunks that they're thousands of years old. It's just an amazing thing to be in. But he went there, and he went there to pray. And the Bible says this in Mark 14, 32 to 36. Remember, this is the night before of his death. It says, "Then they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples," his friends, "sit here while I pray." And he took Peter, James, and John, that was kind of his inner circle, with him. And he began to be troubled and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to the death. Stay here and watch." So we see Jesus, he was actually experiencing human feelings and emotions. He wasn't separated from the feelings that you and I have. He kind of knows how we feel. He went a little further out and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, Daddy God, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." In other words, Jesus knew what his assignment was. The Bible says he was so distressed in other gospels that he was sweating blood. So he knew what his assignment was, but it may have started out as his will to give his life, but at this moment in time, it actually wasn't his will. He actually said, "It's not my will, but your will be done." He chose what was right, not what he desired. And so he chose to go to the cross despite how he was feeling, despite his distress and the sorrow. And I believe it was at that time that he perhaps could have thought about the conversation that he had maybe tens of thousands of years ago in heaven. Because the Bible says he was slain from the foundation of the world. And so I imagine he had a conversation with God in heaven, and him and God were talking, and they were talking about the redemption of mankind, knowing that sin was going to come into the world. And it could have been at that time, when he thought about that conversation, when he would ask God, God, is there any other way? Do I have to go to earth, become a man, become limited, sacrifice my own body, get beaten, get bruised for the saving of mankind? And I believe it was at that time when God would have said, that's the only way. It's the only way to renew this relationship with all of my sons and all of my daughters. So at that time, maybe I would think that he would turn away from that conversation and put his eyes on you. The Bible says, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So he went from the conversation with God in heaven, knowing what he had to do. And then he went and he looked to you. He looked, the Bible says, with the joy set before him. It's not joyful to go on a cross and get nailed to a cross with your wrists and your ankles. That's not joyful. I believe what he did was he looked at the cross, but he looked through the cross. And he looked at you, and he looked at you, and he looked at you. And he said, for the joy set before me, I'm willing to endure the cross. Even though it's not maybe my will, but God, your will be done. And he chose, because of you, to make that decision. And so he redeemed in the Garden of Gethsemane with that decision, another decision that was made in the Garden of Eden thousands of years before that chose wrong, the first Adam, but he being the second Adam chose right. So after that decision was made, he was brought to Pontius Pilate. He was actually found innocent, but still sent to be crucified because he was the perfect lamb. But on his way to the cross, he had to make a stop. He had to make a stop at the whipping post. The Bible says that he got scourged with a Roman scourging. There's no limit to the amount of times he could have been whipped on his back with a whip with bone chips and other things in it that would literally just pull the flesh off of his back. But he did it so that you and I wouldn't have to deal with sickness and pain and ailments and disease. He did it for you and I. He didn't just go to the cross to redeem our spirit and our soul. He went to the cross to redeem our bodies. So he said, this is my bread. Isaiah 53:4-6 says, surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our pains, our diseases, and carried our sorrows, our sicknesses, our diseases, our ailments, our pain. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. So Jesus was whipped on his back. Isn't it enough to go to the cross? But he went even further. He went the extra mile and he gave his back that we could be healed. Sometimes as Christians and as different churches that I've been to, they kind of separate salvation from healing. We so believe that when someone invites Jesus into their life that they get saved and that they're going to heaven. Right there, we always believe 100% of the time. But when someone comes up to get prayer for healing in their body, we separate it like it's a different part of the, it's the same atonement, it's part of the atonement. It's even in the same scriptures. It's in the same scripture. It's not separated. It's not separated. It's the same, different sides of the same coin. You can get saved, but you can also be healed. It's even in the same verse. The Bible doesn't separate it. In fact, you were actually healed before you were saved. 1 Peter 2:24 says, He who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. So Isaiah is prophesying that we are healed by his stripes, but it hadn't happened yet. Peter writes this passage of scripture, and he's talking about something that's already happened. He says, we were healed by his stripes. But he connects salvation and healing in the same verse, part of the same atonement. I want you to know tonight you can be saved and you can be healed. And just as easy as you can be saved, you can be healed. In fact, you were healed before you were saved. It's amazing. He goes to, after the whipping post, when he's almost dead already, the Bible says you can barely even recognize him. He goes to the crucifixion before the cross. He gets a crown of thorns put on his head. His beard is being pulled out. He's being mocked at and spit on. And he goes to the cross, and he gets nailed to the cross. And I was there at Golgotha where he was nailed to the cross. And we think it's kind of like up on this high mountain far, far away, but it's actually right on the road. He was right on the road where people could see him, where people could walk by. It was supposed to be a deterrent so you know, you wouldn't become a criminal or do things wrong. And I saw where he was when I was in Israel, and where he would have been crucified on that cross. And it was on that cross where he uttered those powerful three words, "It is finished." John 19:30 says, "So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit." Matthew 27:51 says, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split." And so Jesus says, "It is finished." He gives up his spirit. He passes. And then the Bible says that the veil was torn from top to bottom. The veil was a separation between humanity and the presence of God. Only the priest, the high priest, could go in there. But when the veil was torn, it was like Jesus was saying, "Now we can all come boldly to the throne room of grace. We don't have to go through a priest. We don't have to go through Mary. We can come boldly to the throne room of grace. We can go directly to the source, directly to God, directly to the presence of God. Now it's available for all of us to go into." What Jesus did was so much more than just die on a cross, so much more than salvation, although salvation is magnificent. It's unbelievable, but it's just the beginning. What he did was so, so powerful. This truly was the weekend that changed the world. So it was finished, but he wasn't done. It is finished, but he's not done, because 3 days later, Easter Sunday, he got up. He got up. We're going to celebrate the fact that he got up in just a couple of days on Easter Sunday. The reason I want to tell you about that now is because it is because of what happened on Easter Sunday that gives power to what happened on Friday. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty." Verse 16 says, "For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." I got to tell you, it's so important what happened on Good Friday. But man, oh man, what happened 3 days later is what gave that power. That's the reason you can be healed. That's the reason you can be set free, is because Jesus is not dead. He got up 3 days later. He is alive and well and fully able to set you free, to heal your body, to cause you to go from death to life. The same resurrection power that happened in that story is in us today. And it's here right now. It's here right now. Oh my goodness, Good Friday is powerful. What I want you to do is take your communion cup. You can stand to your feet. I'm gonna do that later. And I want you to take the bread, and I want you to remember, we're going to sing a song in just a moment. During that song, I want you to remember what the bread stands for, what it means. His body was broken so that yours doesn't have to be. He gave his back for your healing. I want you to focus on that if you need healing. Just receive the healing, even during the song, before we even pray. I believe you can just receive the healing. And then I want you to take the juice, and I want you to remember what he did on the cross. The power of the cross, the power of the blood of Jesus, which causes the enemy to pass over your life. The enemy has no authority over you, has no authority over your life. If there's something incongruent in your life, I want you to think about that and what Jesus did on the cross. Nothing's going to come straight. It's going to come into alignment with the will of God. So let me just pray, and we're going to take communion. We're going to sing this song. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you so loved us that you sent your only son to die on a cross. Father, I thank you that it is finished, but you're not done. We still have work to do in this life. There is still a city to reach. There are still people that need you that don't know you. So, Father, I thank you that you're still working in our lives. And, Father, as we take this bread and as we take this juice, I pray, Holy Spirit, that the healing power of God, that the breakthrough power of God would come into this meeting, that you would begin to set people free even as we sing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Come on, let's sing this song. Amen. Just close your eyes for just a moment. I want to give you an opportunity tonight if you've maybe never invited Jesus into your life. There might be some people here that have never done that. There might be some people here that have at one point in their life, but they've kind of taken their life back. I want to give you an opportunity right now with every eye closed, every head bowed. You can stay standing. If that's you tonight, and I want to pray for you. So if that's you tonight, if you've never given your life to Christ, or tonight you're saying, man, I want to rededicate my life to him, just lift your hand right where you are so I can pray for you. Is there anybody like that in here tonight? Is there anybody here? Let me pray for you tonight. God bless you. Is there anybody? Anybody else? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Why don't we pray this prayer? Everybody in the building, just pray it out loud. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on a cross for my sins. Lord Jesus, today, I invite you into my life, and I declare that I am saved, that I am set free, that I am healed. In Jesus' name, I declare heaven is my home and God is my Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's never a bad thing to pray that. Okay, we have a few minutes left. I want to pray for those people that are sick or that have sickness in their body or pain in their body. I want you to come down to the front. It's kind of tight with the hero stage, but feel free to come down to the front. We're going to pray and believe God this evening. Amen. Amen. Well, Robin, we're going to pray for Robin. She's had chronic pain for the last 3 years. And what else?
I've had problems with my liver and kind of unexplained temporary paralysis and things that just kind of don't add up.
Okay. So we're going to pray. Jesus gave his back to heal Robin tonight and all of you. But this isn't I want all of us to just stretch out our hands towards Robin. And I've prayed for many people that have had kidneys and liver issues healed because my own kidneys got healed. And so often God will use me for that. So just turn your palms towards heaven and just look to Jesus and let's just pray.
Do you mind if I put my hand on your back? Okay.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I can feel the Holy Spirit on you already. Father, I thank you for Robin. Jesus, we thank you that you gave your back for our healing, that by your stripes we were healed. In the name of Jesus Christ, I take authority over this pain. In the name of Jesus, pain, shift. Get off her life now in Jesus' name. I command you to leave now in Jesus' name. I speak to your liver. Be healed. In Jesus' name, let healing flow. Let it 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 flow. Speak to every cell, every bone. In Jesus' name, the healing power of God goes right through, right through, right through, right through, right through, right through, right through. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit's still on you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. 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 Just receive. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Thank you, Lord.
How do you feel? Do you feel anything?
I'm feeling like vibrations within my core. I don't know how to explain it.
Vibrations within her core. You don't know how to explain it. It's the Holy Spirit. That's one way to explain it. Can you feel any better, or do you have to
kind of take a while?
Take a while, okay. But something just happened. Something just...
I can't... I feel like my core is vibrating as I stand here. It's hard to explain, but...
God's rebuilding you. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, turn your palms towards him. Father, I thank you for the power of God. Touch her life in Jesus' name. Power of God flows. Right through, right through, right through, right through, right through. Right through. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. I break the power of the devil in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. All right, we're going to pray for each and every one of you right now.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.